This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, we're going to start out the show with a very tumultuous relationship I have with Josh Hancock. It's going to be one of those days. I can feel it coming already. You have 2 minutes with the guy, and he says, I don't have all day. Let's get going here. Anyway, how you doing, Josh?
I am absolutely fine. I'm calm.
Good.
I don't foresee any problems unless you bring them on.
Okay. Well, I don't know what to do other than shut up because everything I say irritates you. Anyway, you and I are like a couple of what's the guy's name that looks like a frog? I can't think of his name. The comedian. He looks like a frog. I can't even think of his name now. I'm picturing his face.
Larry.
Larry.
What's his name? Larry. Larry.
No, he was on the Dick Van Dyke Show. He was on all those shows. He's a short little guy, partially balding like you.
Maury Amsterdam?
No, but one of those kind of guys. Anyway, go ahead. What's going on in Josh's world? It's JoshCarr.com.
Okay, look, obviously, you watched the Ram TRX press conference
yesterday. I did. It was on Monday, by the way, but yes.
And that would have been yesterday.
No, it wouldn't have been yesterday because today is Saturday, right? Because the show is on Saturday and it played on Monday. Don't argue. You're wrong. Go ahead.
Okay. And so you've already, gone through this, the rest of it. Let's just make the glowing statement that it is the first real competitor to the Raptor in the market.
Yes. We'll be talking about that at the bottom of the hour. We're starting the show with you, Josh. I have a lineup. Did you not get the lineup?
No.
Oh, geez.
I get it. Can I just ask one question and then we can move on?
Yes, please.
How many do they intend on building?
They're going to build a launch edition of 702 for the 702 horsepower. Okay. I'm going to be buying one. I'll just tell you right now. Now, they are also going to build a lot more of them, but in the very beginning, for the first, I think, week or so, if you want to get a launch edition, it's like you're going to have to spend like close to $90,000 for one. But then if you want to get a TRX, it's like $69,995 is MSRP. So it's very competitively priced up against the Ford Raptor F-150.
Well, I wouldn't say the $90,000 one is, but...
Well,
okay.
No, but this is a launch edition. So it's a serial number, launch edition, limited number.
Isn't it funny that where this new model... of, and I say model, I mean sales model. You look at the Bronco, what did they call that one? The first edition, right?
Right.
They were going to build 5,000 and they sold those out real quick. So then they said, we'll do another 5 or 3, whatever it was.
Yeah.
So everybody's going to start doing this with these first editions.
Yeah, well, and you know what? Listen, God bless them. They're putting a little serial number plate on the dash. Some people like me, we geek out over things like that. Listen, I bought a Supra just because they offered me the number 1500 of 1500 launch editions. What the hell did I do that for? I don't know. I don't even drive the damn thing. But I got the plaque.
Yeah, well, there's the reason I would, it's sort of like, look, I took a Bronco number and put in $100. Not because I'm going to get one the first year. I don't want one the first year.
Why not?
I will hand that off to somebody else. I don't want it the first year.
Why? It's not like it used to be. It used to be you don't buy cars on Mondays or Fridays or the last day of the month that were built at that time. But it's not like that anymore. They got such strict and stringent things in place to protect us against Friday cars or the last day of the month cars or whatever it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I would just say I still wouldn't buy a car in the first 6 months. But
oh, that's a bunch of hogwash.
I agree with you.
Yes.
I agree with you for the most part.
All right. Well,
but
so far.
So the one thing, the mistake you don't want to make. Do you need to take a break?
Yes, please. We'll hold over for the mistake you don't. Okay, so this is a cliffhanger for the mistake you don't want to make. Author Josh Hancock. Stay tuned. Well, you've heard about love and giving sight to the blind. My baby loving cause the sun to shine. And she my sweet little thing. She my pride and joy.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Yeah! Well, this is Chickenfoot. It is called appropriately Get It Up. Josh Hancock joining us. Josh is the Hollywood car consultant, the man that matches the car with the character in all things film and television. This is the script that he gave me about 10 years ago, and I remember it now like it is the back of my hand. JoshCarr.com. I don't even have to be paid to do this. Neither does he, because he works for free. Thank you, Josh. Oh, okay, so we did a cliffhanger. The thing you never want to do is...
Yeah, so people see the ad for a new car, and there's always a launch color, and they always go, oh, my God, I want that color, right? And then you get it, and everybody's got that color, and it's everywhere, and you end up going, wow, I'm sorry I got the launch color.
Well, that's why I just buy colors that I like, and I don't care if it's a launch. I geek out over, you know. No, but listen.
Very careful. And that's
normally,
the other thing about getting a car on the street and getting used to it on the street is that once you're used to it on the street and you see them, then you really understand how you want to do it and what color you want.
I understand your premise, but I usually go with black, which is always, always regretful to me because washing black cars is a pain in the butt because there's so much
car. I can't
car.
Believe you live in Oregon and you still buy black cars.
I learned this because of 25 years hanging around Mr. Car Crazy, Barry Maguire. All his vehicles were black because he's the car wax, car polish guy. And so it was always, you know, the cars were always beautiful, but he had like 2,700 people for detailing cars all the time. But black cars are definitely beautiful. I have since switched to white. White is easy color to match, as so is black, but it also hides dirt and it hides imperfections and they look good and people see them coming because they're big white thing coming down the road at you versus black kind of just blends into the background. So
it's
true.
And now we have 50 shades of silver and gray.
I know.
Yeah. Which I like a lot of that. I mean, I can't imagine why people want to buy black Escalades and
wait a
think
minute.
That when you drive up, you're there to pick them up.
Right. You start in the movie 50 Shades of Grey, as I remember. So I get that you like those colors.
Silver is the go-to color that stays clean, always looks good, and gives the car a little bit. You can bring out the features in the car. White, you're kind of hiding the design cues and you're emphasizing the moldings and contrast.
I get it.
Works on some cars,
yeah.
Doesn't work on others.
I get it. And I don't know that if, you know, push comes to shove, I'm going to get a white T-Rex or TRX from Ram, the new Dodge Ram truck, not called Dodge anymore.
Yeah.
All right, trivia question. How many years ago, and you just have to just guess, did they start calling the Dodge trucks Ram? Take a wild guess.
Wow, it's feels like it was 8 to 10 years ago.
Wow. That's a good guess. It was 10 years ago. Yeah. It's bizarre. It seems like it was like 5 years ago to me, but I lose track of time.
You know, it's just very difficult to not say Dodge.
I know.
It just is.
Well, it'd be like if they changed the name of the Jeep to, if they just decided, okay, well, there's too many Jeeps now, or there's, you know, we're just going to start calling Jeep a Wrangler, and it's not going to be called Jeep. Your brain would still say Jeep every single time, and that's what it is with the Dodge truck, you know. And it's the same with Chevrolet.
Exactly.
So. You know, people call sometimes, what are you driving, a Silverado? Well, that's a trim package, even though it might be right because the Silverado is a pickup truck. They don't make Silverado cars. They only make them in the trucks. So, life is confusing.
Well, it's interesting that they want to make, you know, they want to make Bronco its own brand.
I know. Well, like Jeep.
So you'd have Bronco Sport, and then you're going to have the Maverick pickup truck.
Are you serious?
Yes. The Maverick is based off the European Focus. So it's going to be back to the days of El Camino Ranchero.
You're kidding me. Oh, my gosh.
I am not kidding you. And I've got to tell you, if they had that on the market today, it would sell like crazy.
You're probably right. We're talking with Josh Hancock, my buddy, my pal. He is the Hollywood car consulting guy. JoshCar.com, you can find out more about him. Yeah, so I'm trying not to talk about the TRX because I'm going to be talking about it with George Kennedy in the bottom of the hour segment. So knock it off, Josh. Told you it was going to be tumultuous. The whole segment has already started out bad. We've got a problem here. I'm going to talk to management. That's it. And charge the people a dollar. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE-equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
I know, I told him. He won't listen to a damn thing. What? Oh, I'm on. Josh Hancock is joining us. Josh, so listen, here's what management says. I know it's called The Drive, but you can't talk about cars. So I don't know what you're gonna do, because you always try and eat into the other people's segments.
I know management. Her name is Jan, and I'll talk to her.
She told me, just tell him don't talk about cars. So that's it. There you go. Your segment's all yours, buddy.
Okay. So let's discuss. Front page LA Times, Los Angeles Times newspaper. I think the headline is automotive legend meets with some sort of problem. And the article is about Steve Saleen.
Oh, yeah.
Formerly of, or you know, Saleen.
Performance.
If it's Saleen Motors, I don't know what it is. Is still around. He's a customizer, as we all know. There's the Saleen Mustang, and now he's branched out into other brands. You know him quite well. I actually went to Saleen in Detroit and built movie cars out of their factory there when they were doing the GTs. The Ford GTs.
Right.
So it looks like Mr. Saleen made a deal with the Chinese to build his, I'll call it a Lotus-inspired sports car. And along with that he was sharing his expertise on an electric vehicle that they were building for the masses. And it was a big deal. And they got $1 billion from the Chinese government, and now it seems it has all stopped and is no longer moving forward.
Well, so me and one other guy last July went to China to check out this, I think I'm going to say $2 billion automotive factory that they were building. And it was, you know, what they wanted to do was to have like a Detroit in China. It was fantastic. Right. Well, Steve Saleen was the guy that they were tapping to have performance cars, to have styling. I mean, to have everything that Saleen is about. S-A-L-E-E-N, Steve Saleen. People say saline, yeah, like the saline solution, but it's Saleen like gasoline. Anyway, but so we went there for a week. And I was truly blown away at what they had done. This factory was built. And so it's been a year and a month since I was there. And then, of course, we all know about the coronavirus and the pandemic and everything else. And here we are. But on top of that, poor old Steve Saleen, I haven't spoken to him. I did text him when there was an article about, I think it was you or somebody else sent me some sort of a little article about that he was getting screwed in China, and he's like, yeah, well, you can't believe everything you're reading. And then, of course, a week later, ba-boom on the LA Times. Ay, ay, ay. Yeah, he's getting screwed. He basically says now, you can use me as an example of what happens if you go and do business in China. They're stealing all his intellectual property.
I was going to say that part of this is that his intellectual property with this new sports car, etc.
Right.
It sounds like, you know, they're just going to take it. And I'm not sure there's much you can do about it.
No,
you know,
there's not. Especially not in the world today, you know. Evidently, the backers of this, you know, multi-billion dollar extravaganza that they were putting on there decided to file 700 patents of stuff that Steve had already done. So, yeah, totally screwed. And I'll bet he's going to be voting for Trump now. Well, I want to bet.
You know,
Trump was right all along.
If he votes for Trump, he won't be able to get there anymore. So, you know, he's a big automotive personality. Another automotive personality in the news, of course, is the change at the head of Ford Motor Company that Jim Farley is going to take over as CEO.
Yeah.
I think many of us know Jim because in his early days in Scion in particular, he really, you know, he was everywhere and he was shaking everybody's hands. He was a guy that really understood the youth market.
Yeah.
Well, and
you and I used to interview him. He used to come do the show
Scion
all the time
on the map, and then he went to Lexus.
Right. He used to come do the show with you and me all the time when we were at the Museum of Television and Radio in Beverly Hills. You know, and he's a friend of both of ours, and so, thank God, right? We got somebody that's a real car guy.
He's a real car guy.
Right.
So, you know, Jim would be at the Peterson with his 32 Roadster or his Mustang, and he would be there all day long, you know. And I don't know where Hackett was, but I suspect he was at a croquet club while Jim was at the Peterson.
Well,
there's a difference in personality.
What I like, and I like it a lot, is the fact that, like, in automotive news, they actually said they finally have a guy that's going to be running Ford Motor Company that can build a car with his own hands because he is a true car guy. And I think that is a very important part of this whole thing. But he's a really astute businessman, too. And the cousin of the deceased Chris Farley, the comedian from Saturday Night Live, which they even.
Yeah, I mean, look, anybody they put up to run the company is going to get criticized for something. It's just like anybody in the limelight is going to get criticized.
Yep.
So they attack him on his management style and the rest. I think overall this is a great pick.
I think
And
so
he's going to energize the troops. And for the media as well, we're all like, hey, we got a car guy there. If you see him, you're going to walk up to him and go, congratulations, Jim, you know?
Yep, totally nice guy. All right, well, a good job. Yeah. You didn't talk about cars. You only talked about people. So we'll have to try this more often. Josh Haycock.
Well, I could talk about you. I could talk about you if you'd let me.
No, you're not going to. It's not going to happen. JoshCarr.com. We're going to talk about the TRX when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
Hear that? It's time for Dodge Power Dollars on Dodge Charger and Challenger, where you get $10 off per horsepower. So you can enjoy the sweet sounds of Dodge Charger RT Scat Pack's 485 horsepower and get $4,850 off. Or take it up a notch with Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye 797 horsepower and get $7,970 off. So come in for Dodge Power Dollars and get a great deal. Offer not available on leases. See dealer for details.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, it is time to talk about something that is near and dear to my heart. Trucks. I don't know what it is, but I love trucks. So to help me talk about the new Ram TRX, which is the, we'll just say it's the Raptor, the Ford Raptor competitor, is my buddy George Kennedy III. He's a co-founder of Cartender, and he's a automotive journalist for the likes of Car Gurus, Boston Globe, and U.S. News and World Report. George, the TRX, the T-Rex.
Yeah, or T-Rex.
Right.
I'm excited.
Well, so I'm so excited that on Monday, they showed the world, finally, the TRX, which the T-Rex or TRX, whatever you want to call it. It was the 2021 Ram 1500 TRX Crew Cab 4x4. And let me just read you a couple of things here. 6.2-liter supercharged Hemi SRT engine, 702 horsepower. Yeah, that's right. 702 horsepower. 8-speed automatic transmission. What else is on this buy sheet? Because I bought one. Lower two-tone paint, diamond black crystal is the color I got. Leather trim bucket seats. Oh, yeah, I got one. No, I didn't, George. I got two.
I'm just bewildered. Like, how? Two? Why two?
Well, I'm lying a little bit. So one of my business associates wanted one. So on Monday, they showed the world via a, electronic press conference, right? And they had all kinds, I know you saw it, they had all kinds of videos and a lot of T-Rex, dinosaurs, and, you know, just fun stuff. It was really kind of a fun deal. The guy that did it, I don't know who he was, the announcer guy or the speaker or whoever he was, a little bit overly animated the way I get when I get excited about stuff. But look, he literally is giving birth to his baby, his T-Rex baby.
At least he's not doing, like, getting all jazzed up about some, like, you know, economy compact and bringing that same level of energy, right?
Right. So anyway, but, you know, they did a pretty good job. And by the time it was done, I was already sending a text to FCA, everybody I knew. I want one. They're making 702 for the horsepower. They're making 702 launch editions, which you pay. Oh, let me just see what I paid an extra here. Hold on. Remember now, I'm old enough to do this. I realize this is like a closed course professional driver. This is like fat checkbook old guy, if you know what I mean. 12,000.
For this target demo.
That's right. For this launch edition, is it $12,000 for the launch? No, they didn't put any extra on there. But the price, just so you know, the price of mine, $85,000. Total $85,905. And my buddy, he wanted the roll bar and stuff, roll bar and all kinds of other stuff. And his was $88,749.
Yeah, I mean the price on this can cross $90,000, and then when you look at the starting price, it's like $71,000. And a lot of people are going to say, "Well, a Raptor starts at $58,000." But once you start putting some options on a Raptor that kind of pair it up in content to the TRX, you know, you're right in the same neighborhood.
Right, right. So $69,995 is the MSRP, right? And then you add on all this stuff, which is the actual MSRP on this particular truck is $95,495. Now, you know what? Here's the deal. You can take a Raptor to Shelby and do a Shelby version, and it's over $100,000. You can take a Ford pickup, an F-150, to guys like Steve Saline, and you can spend $95,000, $100,000. So to be able to buy a truck directly from the dealer with all the warranties and all the service and stuff that's supposed to go with it for $69,000. Of course, you're not going to get all the goodies, but even still at $85,000, $88,000 for a 700 horsepower beast, I don't know. I personally, and I know you guys are listening going, what? But I'm just curious, what, you know, I want to hear your take on it, George, the TRX.
Well, so before we really dive into it, I mean, that kind of begs the question, you know, how or when is Ford going to fire back? And, you know, a new F-150s are on the corner, so it might not happen for another year or two. I don't see them doing like a GT500 version of this outgoing F-150. They might. But I more than likely see them doing a hotted up next gen Raptor. You know, maybe they start again with the V6, or maybe they offer something on, you know, on the same level in terms of power. But this sort of fills that void, because, you know, when they redesigned the Raptor a few years ago, you know, it had 450 horse, but I think there were some people lamenting that it didn't come standard with the V8. And the TRX, right out of the box, it's got that awesome supercharged 6.2 liter Hemi. This was just like the next natural evolution for what Dodge Ram was going to do. And it looks just like they did a fantastic job. One thing I love is that hood, the big hood scoop.
Yep.
And I think it takes half its air through that. The other half comes through
the grill.
Through the grill. But from what I understand, that hood scoop allows it to ford pretty deep into some water.
By the way, it is $12,150 for the launch edition. $12,150. And there's a serial number plate that goes right on the dash of the serial number of the truck, the serial number of the engine, the transmission, the supercharger, all kinds of bizarre stuff. It's like an information plate because it's a limited edition with this particular, you know, launch edition thing. And I'm a launch edition guy.
Having to explain it to every person that gets in. So you see, this is a one of, you know, 700,
Yep. Well, anyway, I think it's just freaking awesome. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, I mean, what's great, I mean, faster 0-60, slightly taller, you know, slightly more towing capacity by like 100 pounds or something like that. But then you start to look at, you know, more than just the fact that it's got more power, you start to break down some of the dimensions, and, you know, it looks like it's got a little bit better ground clearance, you know, the same approach angle as the Raptor.
It's the same thing. You basically, if you know what a Raptor is, and as Dodge says, because of course now that's 10 years that Ram has been called Ram, but as Dodge said when they came out with the Demon, if you know, you know. If you know what a Raptor is and you know what they're fighting against, I think they may have just beat them. 702 horsepower from the factory. Oh my God, it's beautiful. We'll take a little break. We're talking about the new Ram TRX, the T-Rex. I just ordered two. So on Monday, they showed the world. On Tuesday, you could start ordering them. And I think they may be already sold out. But I don't know. You'll have to call your Ram dealer. We'll take a little break. George and I will continue talking about this new vehicle. 702 horsepower in a truck from the factory.
If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever, the 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.
Well, you're listening to The Drive, and our show is brought to you in part by Brembo. Brembo Brakes, the choice of champions. You can buy Brembo now at buybrembo.com. We're talking about the new T-Rex, TRX, which is a Raptor, the Ford Raptor truck fighter. They've just shown the world, and my guess is they're already probably sold out for the launch edition anyway. But I think they're going to be making a whole bunch of them. George Kennedy joining me right now, talking about this new T-Rex from Ram. And by the way, George, can you believe it's been 10 years since they broke the truck division out of, you know, the Dodge, you might say? Because it used to be a Dodge Ram, and now it's just Ram, like Jeep. It's already been 10 years. It's freaking amazing how time flies.
It seems regular to me now. Like, for the first couple of years, I would catch myself, but now it just seems kind of natural. And it's funny when you think about the way that FCA, or whatever they're called now after the merger, looks at sort of their vehicles. Like, if you look at GM, there's a lot of redundancy. Like, each each division has a small crossover, or each division has a mid-sized crossover.
Right.
You know, back before pandemics, when we used to go to the auto shows, if you went down and looked at the show floor and across Chrysler, Dodge, Ram, and Jeep, there really wasn't a lot of overlap. What you had was, across all brands, they have a vehicle that they've tried to find, you know, win in that segment. So Jeep handles all the crossovers. Chrysler has the minivan, sedan, or whatever. Dodge does all the crazy fast stuff. Ram does pickup. So, you know, among all of these, they're finding their way to, like, carve out their niche across all brands. And, you know, this is sort of bringing all of that to a head, you know, all of that crazy Mopar stuff baked into a truck.
Well, and the fact that it still has a really pretty darn good towing capacity, because normally if you put all this, you know, lift kits and all the different things on there, it really affects the towing capability. I think it has, like, what, 8,000 pounds for towing capacity?
It's 8,100, which just, I think, just barely edges out the Raptor, which I think, yeah, the Raptor has 8,000, a payload of 1,200.
Yeah,
and
but
the Ram has 8,100 and 1,300 for towing.
Right, but with, you could still do 0 to 60 in 5 seconds towing 8,000 pounds.
yeah, exactly. Your results may vary.
Right, exactly.
And I mean, what's interesting too is, you know, it goes a little beyond that too. I mean, they talked about how they, you know, heavily reworked the frame. You know, it's going to have Dana 60s. And then they've got supposedly these Bilstein shocks that have, like, you know, electronically controlled reservoir, 40% more wheel travel, 35-inch tires. I mean, this thing is going to, you know, the headline's going to be the Hemi, right? But it's everything else that I think was what is going to make it the most fun truck for its owners.
Yeah. And I think, too, you know, they talk about it briefly and maybe not too briefly. It wasn't as important to me, but the luxury part of this whole equation, they wanted it not only to be a rugged truck to keep up and surpass the competition, which they've done with, you know, sheer brute horsepower, and but they also wanted it to be extremely luxurious inside, which, from what it looks like, from the seating to the way that they have hand-stitched, you know, on the dash and the steering wheel. And they even have a flat-bottom steering wheel for people that, you know, like that and want that kind of stuff. They've thought of every single thing they could, to the gigantic screen in the dash. I don't even know how big it is. If anybody has ever sat in a Tesla, and the first thing you'd say to yourself is, oh, my gosh, look at the size of the screen. That's the same, oh, my gosh, you get when you get in the new T-Rex. Gigantic screen, which even the 2020s have a wonderful, huge entertainment system. But they just somehow, I don't know, they encapsulated it a little differently in the dash, to where you just look at it and go, damn, that looks good, man. That looks like pure fun, you know?
Well, what I think it is even more important is that they've kept the traditional controls. Like, I'm all for screens, and I love how tech is getting more seamlessly integrated into our cars. But, like, the Tesla route, I don't like where you don't have, say, right, a conventional volume knob or a tuning
right
dial, or you don't have a conventional button or dials for the climate control. This has a 12-point-whatever-inch screen, but you have the conventional control, so you can do it either way.
Well, and like I said, you know, they've thought of everything. In other words, there are the techie people that want to have all the tech in the world, so it's got all the tech in the world. And you know what else they went away from, which, thank you, Ram. They went away from that dial switch to put it into different modes of, you know, four-wheel and off-road and all that. They now have buttons, and they have animal, they have beast mode or whatever. They have so many, launch mode, and they have so many different modes. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's full of technology, but it still has, like you said, all the rotary knobs that you can use to turn the things up and down and find stuff, because they can't forget about who's buying them. Guys my age, I'm 60 years old. Even though I act 23, I'm 60 years old, so I still like to have knobs and things to play with and buttons to push, you know. But I also like technology, because I happen to be a tech guy. I'm talking to you on a radio show. I have to have technology even here, you know what I mean? It's like, technology is so important in today's world. And
You know what's nice too is, you know, through the way that, you know, through the challengers that you and I have driven, the Dodge performance pages, you know, they've found a great way of using that tech to bring an awesome level of customization to the powertrain and the chassis. From what I understand, you're going to be able to dial in a lot of the facets of this vehicle through that touchscreen. You know, the Raptor has the button drive mode, and that's got several drive modes that covers all your bases, but the ability to dialing specifically, like how the shift points, that right. like what the power level.
All right, hold tight. I'm gonna get run over by a commercial. This song is called, I think that no, this band is called Suicide Machines. SOS. Oh dear me, we're talking about the T-Rex, TRX Ram truck, 702 horsepower. That's right. Yeah.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
So we've been talking about the new Ram, T-Rex, TRX, whatever you want to call it. I'm not sure whether people are going to call it the T-Rex because of the Raptor, but it's just a very cool vehicle. George Kennedy joining me. Final words. I don't want to do a whole half hour on this. I know you got a car you want to talk about. But final words on the TRX?
Think about where this came from. People might know the TRX concept based on the Rebel from 2016, I think. But there was even a Dodge T-Rex concept from 1997 that was a six-wheel Ram with an 8-liter V10. So there's a little bit of etymology to this name.
Oh, interesting, interesting. Well, if you're interested and you want to put an order in for one or two like I did, go to your Dodge dealer, your Ram dealer. Most of the time they go together. And, put a deposit down. That's all it takes. All right. So how are you going to bring anything and put it up against what we just got done talking about? What have you been driving?
I'm not even going to try. So okay. Just, hard pivot.
Right.
World of luxury SUVs or luxury crossovers. This week I'm driving the 2020 Cadillac XT6, which is midsize 3-row luxury SUV. A car that's kind of been very absent from their lineup. They brought the XT4 in, the XT5, so they're covering sort of the small, midsize crossover, but a 3-row luxury SUV that is not truck-based is something that was sorely missing from their lineup, and now they finally have one, and it's a pretty great vehicle.
So I was going to ask you, because it matters, and I hate to bring it up every time, but you're a big guy, 6'3". And yep. Do you smack your head when you're getting in? Does it have too low of a roof line or did it fit just right? Because from the time you slide into a vehicle, you have all these thoughts. Ooh, I like the dash. Ooh, the seats are comfortable. Ow, I just hit my head. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. This is a right size vehicle for a lot of American families. And like I said, it's the biggest SUV they have that's not an Escalade. A lot of folks don't need Escalade power, a truck chassis, that sort of thing. And this almost has like SUV blended with like a touch of minivan. And it's got a ton of space, ton of headroom, really comfortable seats. I like what Cadillac has been doing with the interiors. They're the kind of thing that might not present immediately on images if you go look online. But when you sit in it, it looks great. Clean lines. One of my favorite things about it is the dash has this like almost like an amber carbon fiber panel that like goes the entire length of the dash. It's just really cool. Really clean. And once again, this is another car that blends the technology in well. I don't love, and this is what some of Cadillac's been doing for the last, five or more years, the touch capacitive controls, sort of like the microwave door controls for like a lot of stuff. I'd like to see some traditional buttons or dials, but it surrounds their infotainment system, and Cadillac's infotainment and GM's infotainment as of late has been top notch. So you got Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, all those bells and whistles and head-up display. Probably one of the biggest sunroofs I've seen yet in a vehicle. Oh. So got a lot of space, a lot of cabin room, a lot of place to, for the kids and all their gear. And I think this fits a niche that they really needed to be in for a long time.
Yeah. What's it powered by?
Yeah, so it's a V6, 310 horsepower, decent power. It's not going to kick you back, but it's not like, you know, one of these turbo fours that, you know, GM's turbocharged fours are kind of, you know, they do a good job once they get up to speed, but, you know, there's some turbo lag.
Right.
This is progressive power. Drives really smooth. There's a drive mode button with touring and sport and snow mode. It drove its best in sport, actually, because there was almost like a little bit of body roll in auto. And I feel like it was a lot more dialed in sport without being too stiff. So that was the right blend.
Price as tested.
Yeah, sure. So we had the higher end trim, and that was $57,000. So with options, you can go up from there. But if you look at the competition, which is like, you know, the Infiniti QX70s of the world, that's, you know, you start adding options, and that's right in line with that pricing.
No, no question about it. Cadillac XT6 3-row SUV, lots of luxury, 310 horsepower V6 in the 50s. George, thank you, brother. I'll take you for a ride in my T-Rex when I get it.
Can't wait.
All right, George Kennedy III, you can find him at Cartender, Car Gurus, Boston Globe, and U.S. News and World Report. He's out there, man. He's a car guy. Videos, stories, just like us right here at The Drive. We'll take another break for some news, and then there's a second hour, if you can stand it. I promise not to talk too much more about the TRX from Ram. We are sponsored by Dodge, but the truck division has nothing to do with that. I'm going to have to make a phone call. This is The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, we've talked about what the FCA, Fiat Chrysler Automobiles, the owners of Jeep, Dodge, Ram, Maserati, Alfa Romeo, I don't know what else they own, Fiat. We've talked about the TRX a lot. And one of the things, the new T-Rex truck, which is the, I guess we'll call it the competition to the Ford Raptor truck. One of the things they talked about in the press briefing that they did on Monday of this week earlier was they talked about comfort. And I thought to myself, interesting. They're talking about kind of a premium feel of this, that, and the other. But Perry Stern, who's joining us right now, editor of Auto NXT and contributor to MSN.com, the car guy there, when he hears, you know, premium interior, he's thinking about the Rolls-Royce Cullinan he's driving. Can the T-Rex, you think it could, you know, go side by side with the Rolls-Royce Cullinan?
It's a different class. It's a whole different class of things. I mean, TRX is awesome, no yeah, question.
Right.
And it will go places. This Cullinan never will. But if you want to go places, the Cullinan is where you want to be.
There you go. There you go. That's a twist. So how much, first of all, how much is a Rolls-Royce Cullinan, which is their new SUV? How much are they?
So the base price is $330,000, which is a whole bunch of TRXs. The car that I'm driving right now, because I happen to have a Rolls-Royce Cullinan in my driveway at the moment,
yeah,
is priced at $394,000.
What possibly could
my house
you
value
add?
Has gone up considerably since the car parked here.
Right. But what could you add that would add $64,000 in extras to a vehicle?
It has what they call a launch package, which basically gets you the, well, for example, lamb's wool floor mats. You got to have lamb's wool floor mats. You get the rear theater configuration. So when you get in the back seat, you push a button on the back of the seat in front of you, and this beautiful wood-trimmed table comes out, and a video screen comes out, and you can watch movies. You can actually watch the navigation of wherever your chauffeur is driving you to. You know, so things like that are, you know, bespoke audio, because bespoke is everything with Rolls-Royce.
Right.
It does everything. So, yeah, so you do have options that, you know, you could buy a TRX for.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the TRX starts at $69,000, $69,995. And these options that you got were $64,000 for just the options on the Rolls-Royce Cullinan. You could buy a 702 horsepower brand new T-Rex truck from Ram.
I should mention that this Cullinan is actually not nearly optioned as much as it could be.
No way. Well, what else could you do besides add wings and call it a Learjet?
Well, you could actually make it like a Learjet inside. You can put in bucket seats in the back. You know, that way you have room in the middle for your champagne cooler, which actually holds the bottle of champagne and special champagne flutes that lock in with special cup holders so that your rear seat passengers can sip champagne while they're being chauffeured to either down the road or through the woods, because this is an SUV. It actually has suspension that'll raise up and you can go drive over stuff.
I could see that happening. I could see that. Oh, we're going off road now, sir. Which way would you like to turn, left or right? Oh, my gosh.
Well, let me sip a little of my champagne first while I think about it.
Oh, my gosh. $330,000 starting price. $394,000 as tested, the Rolls-Royce Cullinan. Perry Stern's talking about it. He says, I haven't written the story yet, so we're getting the raw right out of his mind, the test drive results. When we come back, let's talk, Perry, about who buys one of these cars. I mean, are these the kind of vehicles that resorts buy to pick people up? Remember, they used to call them station wagons. They would take people from the train station to the resort in a station wagon. And here we have now a Rolls-Royce Cullinan SUV, glorified station wagon. We're going to talk about that. Who buys a Rolls-Royce these days? This is The Drive. Don't go anywhere.
That? It's time for Dodge Power Dollars on Dodge Charger and Challenger, where you get $10 off per horsepower, so you can enjoy the sweet sounds of Dodge Charger RT Scat Pack's 485 horsepower and get $4,850 off. Or take it up a notch with Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye 797 horsepower and get $7,970 off. So come in for Dodge Power Dollars and get a great deal. Offer not available on leases. See dealer for details.
Well, you're listening to The Drive, and our show is brought to you in part by Subaru and love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. So, talking to Perry Stern, and Perry is driving the new Cullinan, the SUV from Rolls-Royce, and the one he's driving is equipped at $394,000. And Perry, I got to tell you, either Rolls-Royce doesn't like me or me don't like Rolls-Royce, one of the two, but I have never driven a Rolls-Royce of any kind, year, make, or model in my life, ever.
I have to say you are missing out. I've driven a couple different ones, and they do drive differently. I mean, I've driven a Wraith Black Badge that was, you know, basically set up for performance, and it was amazing. It was incredibly powerful, huge, but you could still toss it around a twisty road, and it handled great. This Cullinan it's like the definition of smooth. Mm. You know, when you put your foot down, it's almost like turning a dial to bring up the power, because the power comes on so smoothly. The transmission, you don't even notice the shifts, but the power comes out. I mean, it's got a 6.75 liter twin turbo V12. It has lots of power.
How many horsepower?
I think it's 570 some horsepower, something and it, you know, it's not a light vehicle. It's massive.
Yeah.
You get in and, you know, the little Spirit of Ecstasy hood ornament is like a mile down the road, it seems. Yeah, that hood is so long.
That's what they call the hood ornament, way out on the front. So who buys these things? I mean, I can imagine that, you know, Trump and Trump Towers or Trump, you know, one of his organizations, if you were to be picked up by the most prestigious organization and they wanted to impress you, they would buy one of these and pick you up at the airport, like I was talking about in that last segment, a station wagon, because there's just nothing like this, I don't think. But I mean, what kind of a person buys these? Celebrities?
I would imagine, you know, clearly it's not someone's daily driver.
Right.
People don't, you know, and that's what we've found, you know, with any other expensive car, you know, people who buy, you know, $600,000-$700,000 cars, chances are they have several $600,000-$700,000 cars.
Yeah, that's true.
But for Rolls Royce, you know, Rolls Royce owners are very particular. The service is unmatched, and you can have your car customized to whatever level you want. So they do have some very high end clientele. And now with the SUV, they actually have an option for someone who, you know, maybe they need to tow their horses, or they, you know, have the beautiful ranch back up in the woods and they need something that can get there.
Yeah.
Because this is a proper four-wheel drive SUV. I mean, I've taken it off-roading and it's impressive what it can do.
Are you sure you can say that? Rolls-Royce is not going to be happy. You've taken the Cullinan off-roading. Oh my gosh. That's hilarious.
Actually did it with Rolls-Royce a while back. Okay. So Rolls-Royce was on board. Okay. They're pushing the fact that this thing is capable.
Oh my gosh. So $394,000. If you could put one word on this car, what would you tell people? The Rolls-Royce Cullen is blank. What?
I think what I said before, it's smooth.
Smooth.
It's just everything about it is just smooth. I mean, it's everything, you know, it's not jarring at all. The look of it is great. It's calming. You know, to ride in the back is the ultimate way to go, but it's the ultimate way to travel. I mean, if you could do a road trip in the back seat of one of these, it would be awesome.
So the ultra rich is basically who buys this type of a car, or I have to think that they do sell a lot of them to businesses for the purposes of what I was talking about. High-end businesses, banking,
I would agree.
Investment companies and things like that, because it's such a statement. How many do they expect to build? Have you got any of that information?
I don't have much information on that, but they don't build a lot of vehicles.
Yeah.
You know, they're all hand-built in crew. They're hand-assembled, although BMW does own Rolls-Royce, so there is a lot of BMW in this vehicle.
Oh.
I mean, it's still clearly Rolls-Royce, but there is, you know, when you look at the electronics, I had just gotten out of the BMW M8, and a lot of the electronics were very familiar.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I forgot that BMW owns Rolls-Royce, and that's right. Very interesting. Again, a V12 twin-turbocharged heavy. Do you know how much it weighs? I'm just curious. I'm just geeking out on the heaviness of it all.
I don't know offhand, but when my story's done, it will be in there.
Okay. See, this is what this is wrong.
It's got to weigh more than 3 tons.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's like a big Ford Expedition that they stopped making. Just massive. Fun to drive.
And that's why the power just feels so amazing, is when you start going, it just gathers speed so quietly and smoothly. I found myself, because I tend to talk to myself in the car, I admit it, I was whispering to myself because it was so quiet inside.
Was it fun to drive, though? I mean, when it's all said and done.
Absolutely. Yeah. It handles well. It's fun, and people look at you. There's no question.
Smooth.
But they all seem happy. They were waving.
Oh, Rolls-Royce Cullinan. If you got an extra $400,000 laying around, you know, why not? We'll take a break. There's more. Perry Sturt will join us one more segment. It is The Drive.
If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new Best Outback Ever, the 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
So you can find me on social media, Facebook, at The Drive with Alan Taylor. You have to do the whole thing, The Drive with Alan Taylor, because there's a lot of drives out there. But The Drive with Alan Taylor, you can find Perry Stern at autonxt.net, autonxt.net. And we're going to go now from Rolls-Royce to the other end of the automotive spectrum, which is Kia. Now, Kia makes, I think Kia exactly. makes one of the most inexpensive cars available that is made and sold here in the U.S. that you could actually call a car and not a golf cart. And Kia actually, man, it seems like maybe you can even comment on this, but in the last 5 years, Kia went from being, you know, the inexpensive car company to get out of the way. You can lead, follow, or get out of the way. And because Kia has arrived with the Telluride, the K9, Kia K9, which is the big, you know, their big luxury machine. Just all their vehicles all together are just really worth considering no matter how much you want to spend. For example, you can spend $394,000 on a Cullinan, or you could spend $40,000, or even actually if you just got a base model Telluride, which has won every freaking award you can win. Their SUV, the Telluride, is beautiful. It's wonderful. It's scrumptious for like $33,000 or $34,000. Come on. But now we got, you've driven or done a story on one of the two, or probably both, on the 2021 Kia K5, and I don't even know what that is. I do. I think it's an SUV, right? Of some sort.
Well, the K5 basically replaces the Optima. So this, you know, Kia has decided that even though SUVs are popular, they're not giving up on the passenger car. And in fact, they have quite the lineup of passenger cars.
Wait, hold it.
K5 is the newest one.
Do you know why I thought it was a K5 is because I know we had this argument about it, not with you, with somebody else here on the show. I own a K5 Blazer. So to me, the Chevrolet Blazer, it was called the K5 Blazer. And so to me, everything that says K5 on it is going to be an SUV. You're right. They're doing away with the name Optima, and they're calling that car the K5. And I even forgot.
Exactly.
Car guy extraordinaire forgot. See, I'm an idiot, unfortunately.
Well, the reason that they did that is in Korea, you know, their home market, they have cars called the K3, the K5, the K7, and the K9.
Ah.
That's kind of their lineup. And so they determined that this car was different enough from the last generation Optima that it made sense to basically adopt the Korean name, the K5. I'm not as crazy about it. I like having an actual car name like Optima, but, you know, as usual, they didn't ask me.
But they could have called it K5 Optima, the Optima K5, just like the Chevy Blazer was a K5 Blazer. Now today's Chevrolet Blazer should have had some other name, because to me, it'll never be what I own, which is a Chevrolet K5 Blazer. You know what I'm saying? So,
well, it's because it's not anything like the one you own.
I know,
that's
right?
A different discussion.
Yeah, it is. I know. And we'll have that soon, by the way. Anyway, but the K5.
The K5 is an impressive sedan. I mean, it's, you know, as opposed to the $330,000 base price of the Cullinan, the base price on the Kia is closer to $24,000. Actually, right. $23,490 for a base level K5. And even the base level looks really good. It's got LED headlights with the, you know, nice signature running lights, dual zone climate control, a nice color touchscreen display, Android Auto, Apple CarPlay, you know, rear view camera. It's you know, it's a well-equipped car that drives really well. The back seat has got tons of room, so you'd be really comfortable in the back seat. It'd make a great family car.
Oh my gosh. So just to do the math a little bit, if you took $23,490 and you did that times 10, it's $230,000. So we're still $100,000 away. You could buy 10 Kia K5s, the old Optima, which is the new car called K5. 10 of those and have $100,000 in the bank and still not be able to buy the one Perry was driving because it was $394,000. Oh my gosh. You know?
Yes, when you start doing the math, it's just, it boggles the mind that someone who bought a Cullinan could actually buy the entire neighborhood Kias.
I swear. Well, when is this car coming out, the Kia K5, which is not an SUV?
It's actually arriving in showrooms now.
Okay.
And range of different trim levels, so you can get it loaded up if you want. And the one that you'll like, of course, is the K5 GT that will be coming out a little bit later this year. Starts around, I think, a little over $30,000, but it bumps horsepower up to, I believe, about 290 horsepower in this car. So it's not a V12, but it's going to be quick.
No, you could actually have, because it's four cylinders, so you could have three engines. Right? Three four-cylinder engines.
I think a Cullinan is going to be our new form of currency. It's right. Like, how many Cullinans would that be? Well, that would be one-third Cullinan.
It's just so bizarre, you know? I mean, because a car is a car, but it's not anymore that way. It's pretty interesting.
Now, there's cars and then there's Rolls Royces.
Well, there you go. I was at Costco the other day, and I saw a Hyundai there, and I thought to myself, my goodness, that looks like an A7 Audi. And so I think to myself, you know, it's interesting how these designers move around, and one day there's a designer designing Audis, and the next day he's working at Kia or Hyundai. And that's what's happened, is we've lived enough life in the history of the automobile that the designs, no matter what the name on the car is, they make some beautiful cars today, no matter whose car
Absolutely.
It is, because it's designer specific. You know? Anyway, you can find the story on the K5 Kia, not an SUV, at autonxt.net. Autonxt.net. Perry Stern, thank you, brother.
Certainly. Always happy to be here.
Happy because he's driving a Cullinan!
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
So our show is brought to you in part by Dodge, and we thank Dodge for sponsoring the show. Domestic, not domesticated. But BJ Colleen is joining me right now. BJ, the funniest thing just happened. My producer Dave comes in and he goes, yeah, I kind of made a mistake. You weren't supposed to be talking to Perry. You had somebody else, and I called Perry. So it was literally a surprise test drive. But luckily, you know, Perry, God bless him, what a neat guy. He's driving the Rolls-Royce Cullinan. $394,000. $394,000.
It's pocket just, change.
It's beyond my, and I think the any average human being's imagination to spend more than I paid for the any of the houses I've ever bought on a car. But anyway, that is, you know, that's one of those things that if you have to ask, you can't afford it.
You know, it's funny because if you just wait like 5 years, you'll be able to pick one of those up at Barrett Jackson for like half the price.
That's the thing. When you're that wealthy, you don't care. You just want the next new one. And it's like, ugh, get rid of that thing. Just put it out with the trash.
You know, though, I know it's nice, but I like the old Rolls and Bentleys better. And when those come up at Barrett Jackson auction, you can get them for like $25,000, $30,000. Yeah, they're not brand new, but you still got a Rolls, and they're always going to be in good shape.
Yeah, but you can't afford to fix it.
$1,000 on, you know, fixing them and maintaining them. So
yeah, $1,000 for them to diagnose it, and then the big one. Anyway, all right. So you have been driving the Hyundai Ioniq. Hybrid.
Yes.
Can you tell the world what an Ioniq is? Because I already blew it. I thought the Kia K5 was a SUV because I'm driving a K5 Blazer. Confusion! You know?
No, the Ioniq does not cost $300,000+. So that's good news.
How many Ionics can you buy for the price of a Rolls Royce? Anyway, go ahead.
You could buy 10 to 15 of these if you wanted to. So if you like your friends, give out cars to your friends. And what's nice about the Hyundai Ioniq is the fact that it comes in a hybrid version. It comes in a plug-in hybrid version. And it comes in an all-electric version. So you have your options of what you want to hand out to your friends for free. And put my name on your list, please. If you're handing out cars, I will take one.
We'll call Oprah. Yeah.
I like this vehicle a lot. I have the Ioniq HEV, the hybrid electric vehicle, which means you don't plug it in. It recharges its own juice as you're driving. So it can either run on battery power or it can run on gasoline power.
Right.
Because it still comes with a 1.6 liter engine. Makes about 134 horsepower. In an electric vehicle, you really don't have to care about torque because with electric, when you're starting off with electric power, you have 100% of the torque at zero RPM. So you're getting maximum torque right then and there. So it's not like you're waiting for it to build. But the Ioniq starts at about 23.2. There's four trim levels and goes up to the limited model, which is about 31.2. My car, you know, the good thing about Hyundai and Kia is they really do come with just about every feature you can imagine. The only thing that's on my test vehicle was carpeted floor mats for $155. So with destination, I was out the door for $32,000. So, and you know what? It does exactly the same as the Rolls does. It drives down the road to get you from point A to point B. But it does one thing better than the Rolls does.
What?
I got 50.4 miles to the gallon. Woo. They rate a combined 54. And you're not going to get that out of your Rolls or your Bentley, are you?
Well, and the older ones, to make a point about the older ones, they cost a lot to fix. You have to have a specialized mechanic when you're talking about Rolls Royce. And the old joke is, you know, the old Rolls Gnarly. It rolls down hills and can hardly go up the big hills, you know. But the thing is that the new ones are fantastic machines. But we're talking about, you know, you can buy 10 at fully loaded. It'll be $320,000, which is roughly the $330. But the one that he drove, $330 was base price, $394,000 as tested. Again, you can almost buy. No, you can. You can buy almost, well, you can almost buy three of these Hyundai Ioniqs for the options of the Rolls Royce.
Well, you know, just get a bunch of them and hand them out as party favors.
I think it's a great idea. Right.
Wouldn't that be fun to go to a party and somebody gives you the car keys and you drive home in your car? You know, it's like, instead of just giving me a ride in your Rolls, I'd rather take a Hyundai Ioniq. And I really like the car. It's very comfortable. You know, it looks like a real car. You know, that's what everybody complains about the Priuses, is that they just look like fake cars. You know, this one looks like a real car. It drives like a real car. The controls are nice. It's got blue backlighting on the control buttons, and it's a flat, you know, touch element, so there's no indentations. It's very modern looking.
Well, let me ask you, what are the comparables? What would you compare it to? What size of car? Honda Civic, Honda Accord, you know, Toyota Camry?
Basically, this is a compact vehicle. Okay. So it would go... Not the Camry, because that's a midsize. This would fit more. It's kind of like in between. Yeah, it's a compact, but actually it's got decent room in it, decent room in the back seat. So you would probably do more of a Civic type of size, or maybe even a Corolla or something in between that size.
Right.
You know, it's so hard, Alan, to classify cars anymore. Every manufacturer is making their own classifications, because then they can say, well, we're best in class. Well, what's the class? Well, it's the class that we have, you know, so, okay,
right,
the way you want to play it. So you got to pay attention to everything that you're, you know, reading and buying, how they're qualifying it.
We're talking about the Hyundai Ioniq Hybrid, by the way, everybody, starting at $23,000. The one she's like fully loaded, $32,000. But she gets 50 miles to the gallon with this. Not a plug-in hybrid, just a hybrid. So you have electric for a little bit, and then the engine turns back on, and you're running down the road on gasoline. Nothing wrong with that. But if I was going to buy the two, I think I'd buy a plug-in hybrid, if you want to know the truth.
Well, yeah, because you're going to get, as long as you have a place to plug it in and you can recharge it, you know, and you have the time, or you want to invest the money because you got to install a 240 outlet in your garage so you can charge it, or you can take it to public charging spaces.
Right.
But, you know, the Hyundai Ioniq electric is a real nice vehicle, too. I mean, that vehicle, you can get an 80% charge in under an hour with the quick charge feature on it. That's crazy. It's really nice. But what's good about the Ioniq is, if you want to buy the Ioniq hybrid vehicle, the pure hybrid, there's no changes except for colors for 2021. So you can buy a 2020 model, and you might save yourself a little bit of pricing, especially because they're probably ready to deal with them because they want to keep the 20s on the lot.
Right.
But it really doesn't change. They actually change everything for 20, they put a new grill on it, and LED headlamps, and a beautiful 10.25-inch nav screen, and new touches on the interior. So they really did a nice job. Got a couple little nitpicks. It has a little bit of road noise coming in. And I think because when you're in electric mode, everything gets amplified. You can hear it a little bit more. But it has a wireless phone charger, and you can go 600 miles range in just one tank of gas, which is amazing because, you know, you would have to stop to go to the bathroom before you'll stop for, for fuel again. So you couldn't even do it. Economical vehicle. And, you know, again, you don't have to plug this one in. It depends on your driving habits. And you can get probably more fuel economy than I did, but it's a great vehicle.
Here's the thing. The Ioniq from Hyundai, they're going to have to sell a catheter because you couldn't possibly go 600 miles even, because that's how far to go on one tank, you guys. So you got to get the Hyundai catheter to go along with it so you can just keep going. Well, unless you got to go number two. All right, BJ, thank you very much.
I think thank you.
$23,200 starting price for the Hyundai Ioniq Hybrid. And about 32,000 the way BJ was testing it. Hyundai makes good machines. I don't think anybody's questioning that anymore. Go take one for a test drive. We'll be right back. This is The Drive. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Well, now it is time to talk about, well, let's see, U.S. News and World Report. U.S. News unveils the best cars for teens. Not like there's nothing else going on in the world to talk about, but of course, you know, people still got to get around. Jamie Page Deaton is joining us. Executive editor, U.S. News and World Report. You can find this, by the way, on the web at cars.usnews.com/cars-trucks. But we'll just say U.S. News and World Report. You can go there and look at it. Jamie, so let's talk about it. First of all, executive editor, U.S. News, Best Cars Team, Juror, North American Car Utility and Truck of the Year Awards. You're like a big shot, and I appreciate you being on the show. I appreciate it because some of the folks I have are just unsavory. You know that. You know most of them.
Yeah. But, you know, those of us who are up high, we have to give back to the little people.
Thank you.
Which is why I'm willing to be on your show.
I appreciate
it. My community service
See?
For the week.
You know what? That's why I like you. You just take it and dish it right back out. All right. So let's talk about what is, and I know some of this stuff is embargoed, but we're pre-recording this for the sake of the fact that we all have to, you know, live life differently anymore. But can you share with us best cars, best new cars for teens for 2020?
Yeah, actually, I'm going to back it up for just a second, though. So before you head to the dealership to buy a car for your teen, whether it's a new car or a used car, you better be sure your teen is ready to drive.
Yeah.
Even if you're just thinking about handing over the keys to your car, you really need to have a good long conversation about what it means to drive a car, the kind of responsibility that drivers have. You know, you're not just trying to keep your kids safe. You're trying to keep everybody on the road safe, and not every 16-year-old is ready to drive.
Yeah.
So, you know, we also, you know, we think about, you know, they just because they can drive doesn't mean they should drive. So just as parents, know that you're not just, you know, protecting your kid if you say, hey, you know what, I don't think you're ready. Let's do some more practice. You're protecting everybody else, and we all thank you for that because nobody likes, you know, getting rammed by a teenager in a souped-up Mustang.
Yeah,
but
for sure, right.
if you're looking for a new car for your teen, we have a list of great ones that you know, start under $20,000. They go up to $40,000. And I know you're probably thinking, who wants to spend 40 grand on a car for a teenager? Those are more, you know, if you're going to be buying yourself a new car and, you know, your teen's going to drive it occasionally, you know, help you figure out what makes, you know, what makes sense there.
Right.
So we've got everything, you know, from the Honda Fit going up to the Kia Sportage, the Nissan Rogue. I mean, take your pick. They're all good, reliable, safe cars.
You know, it's what the difference between when I was a kid, and I know I'm much older than you, but when I was a kid, you know, cars had roll-up windows, sometimes something called three on the tree, and it has nothing to do with Mother Nature, if you know what I mean. You know, the transmission. Today, almost everything's automatic. Everything's got power windows and door locks and tilt and cruise and all, you know. But on top of that, it's got safety features. As a matter of fact, somebody called me the other day while I was driving, and I hadn't hooked my car and my phone together through Bluetooth because, you know, these test cars. And I reached down for my phone. The guy in front of me slammed on his brakes. Do you know that my car slammed on its brakes? And I said, thank God. Because,
yep.
I mean, at just a momentary take the eyes off the road and something happens. The devil's in those details. And when if it was me when I was a kid, bam, I would have rear-ended that guy.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, that's what, like, all of these, all of the cars on the list, they all have forward collision warning, forward automatic braking. Some have rear automatic braking. They have things like lane keeping assist,
right,
lane departure warning. These are all things that, like, can not only save, you know, an adult driver in just that moment of inattention, but they keep your kids safe while they're still developing those driving skills. Because
totally.
Let's be honest, I mean, it takes years of driving and driving pretty regularly to become a good, competent driver. I mean,
yeah,
even if you've had, you know, a couple dozen hours of behind the wheel, you know, with an instructor, that's not the same as driving, you know, to and from work every day for years, or driving to and from school every day for years. So, like, having these safety features, you know, you should get these, try as best as you can to get a car with these, you know, all these automatic and advanced safety features for your kid, but then teach your kid to drive as if the car doesn't have them, so they're not relying on them.
Right, right.
But really, I mean, it's all about just, let's either prevent the accident, and if the accident is not preventable, then let's lessen the severity so everybody can walk away safe.
Well, let me just tell you, I was driving an Alfa Romeo Stelvio, and the folks at Alfa Romeo will be glad to know that their system worked. Otherwise, they would be picking it up with a tow truck, and there would be an insurance claim because I would have rear-ended somebody. I mean, listen, it happens. You look, you glance, you know, something shiny, you see another car you like, a restaurant you want to go to. Oh, they look open today, because there's all kinds of things going on in our world today that are distracting us. It's like, I thought that place closed up. No, look, it's open. Bam! You know, but not in these new cars. All right, hang tight. We'll take a little break. U.S. News and World Report unveils best cars for teens. We're talking with Jamie Page Dayton, and she is executive editor over there of the Cars team. We'll be right back and find out a little bit more about some of these cool cars for teens. Don't go anywhere.
Hear that? It's time for Dodge Power Dollars on Dodge Charger and Challenger, where you get $10 off per horsepower. So you can enjoy the sweet sounds of Dodge Charger RT Scat Pack's 485 horsepower and get $4,850 off. Or take it up a notch with Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye 797 horsepower and get $7,970 off. So come in for Dodge Power Dollars and get a great deal. Offer not available on leases. See dealer for details.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
And of course, my friend Jamie Page Deaton, she's executive editor of U.S. News and World Report. You can go there and you can find the best new cars and used cars, believe it or not, but best new cars for teens. And we're going to see in 5.5 minutes how many of those cars and trucks and SUVs Jamie can blow through here, because people are wanting to know, just in case they want to buy something new and there's a teen in the house, what's the list look like?
So we've got, you know, if you want to spend less than $20,000, we've got a 2020 Honda Fit. Actually, all of these are 2020s. You know, if you've got more like $25,000 to spend, go for a Toyota Corolla or a Ford Escape. got a little bit more. You want to spend around 30, Kia Optima or Kia Sportage. And I got to pause on the Kias because they have a great smartphone app for parents. Mm. And what you can do is you get a text if the car is driven over a speed that you set or after a time of night that you set or outside of a geographic area you set. It's like you're always in the passenger seat with your kid. You can say, hey, I got a text that said you were doing 90. You want to tell me about why?
Right,
is there a good reason for you doing that?
Perfect.
So that's really great. And then we've got the Hyundai Sonata and the Nissan Rogue going from $30,000 to $35,000. The Rogue, again, like they've really pushed a lot of their teen driving features and how their active safety features can really help new drivers. So that just makes it a great choice. And then from $35,000 to $40,000, we've got the Toyota Camry Hybrid for cars and the Hyundai Santa Fe for SUVs. And again, like don't spend $35,000 on a car for your teenager, but if you're looking for a car you might want to pass on in a couple years or one that you're going to let your teen drive occasionally, these are great choices.
Yeah.
If you're looking for more of a used car, I mean, honestly, I love a large car for a teenager because those crumple zones are so much better. You get much more crash protection. The 2017 Kia Cadenza. I mean, this is one that, you know, I don't think kids are lining up around the blocks. It's not the coolest car, but it's a big, comfortable sedan, easy to drive, lots of safety features. We've also got the 2016 Toyota Camry or Camry Hybrid. If you're looking for a midsize SUV, again, something that you might want to share with the kid, a 2017 Kia Sorento. And then for small cars, the 2016 Toyota Prius. I mean, the teenage, you know, if you've got a teen who's, you know, really committed to the environment, it's hard to do better than the Prius to really signify that. And if you're looking for a small SUV, the 2017, you know, Hyundai Tucson. But one thing you might notice that all these cars really have in common is they're all boring. Right. This is not like, I mean, I know you've got a lot of enthusiasts listening to your show,
right,
and they're all probably going like, what? Like, where's the WRX person? Where's the Alfa Romeo?
Right.
Do not buy your teenager a performance car. It is a terrible idea. Like, the last thing you want to do is put your brand new driver behind the wheel of a Ford Raptor.
Right.
Because all that car is going to do is say, drive me fast,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And the teenager does not have the skills that can keep up with the car.
That's
so
hilarious.
Do not buy a performance car for your teen. The mantra you should be looking for is big, so you have that, you know, crash protection, as big as you can afford. Boring, so none of your teen's friends want to ride with them, right? Because every additional passenger increases your accident risk for teen drivers.
Right.
And then slow, so your teen isn't tempted to do something stupid.
Yeah.
So that's really what we're looking for on this list, as well as all these great, you know, safe cars, reliable cars, so your kid's not left on the side of the road, you know, in the middle of the night. And cars that really help, you know, parents keep tabs on teens so you can keep the conversation about what it means to be a safe driver. Keep that conversation going.
You know what's funny is, as you're talking, my daughter, who is now, you know, going to be mother of two soon.
When she congratulations.
Was, thank you. Yeah, I'm grandpa. But or papa is my little one calls me there. But she when she was in high school, she wanted all these cool cars and I'm a car guy. You know what I got her? I know you're going to go, "Oh my gosh, a Ford Taurus station wagon." Nothing
there you go.
Nothing
it
looks
like
more
like
an automotive manatee, I was going to say.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. But and she hated it.
I had a 1986 Volvo 240 station wagon. That's what I learned to drive in, and I totaled it.
I
have legs
because
I was in a Volvo 240.
Good.
And it wasn't like I wasn't, you know, speeding or anything. I just, you know, made a mistake while making a left turn.
Oh,
it happens, you know,
It happens.
And so having that big, safe car, you know, I've got legs because of it. My passenger, she has legs now because of it. And so, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like, you know what? Get him that big, boring car. Nobody wanted to ride in my Volvo 240, but gosh darn it, when we were in an accident, we were all glad to be in that car instead of in something cooler.
So that is so funny because when I first started dating my wife, I was 21, she was 19. Her dad goes, "You're a car guy. What should I buy my daughter?" I said, "I'd buy her a Volvo station wagon." And in 1979, I'm pretty sure it was 79 or 80, we got my wife, and her dad paid for it, a Volvo station wagon. And you know what? I look back at that and I think to myself, that was so sensible because back in that time period, and we've been together almost 40 years to tell you, they didn't have SUVs like they do today. And that was the closest thing to an SUV. Or where can people find this? Is it? I'm going to let you give the website out so I don't screw it up.
Yeah, you can go to cars.usnews.com or honestly, just Google best cars for teens. We've got the top spot. So you'll be able to find all the information there.
Awesome. Jamie Page Deaton, thank you. Good job.
Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
And that's about it for our 2 hours of talking cars. This is The Drive. We'll see you next week.
If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever, the 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.